Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome everyone. Well, it's the third Monday of the month again, where we explore. These seem to come around awfully quickly to me, third Mondays. But we're going to explore business, career, and work lifestyle strategies. My second guest today says, yes, it may be 2010, but there are still unwritten rules in the workplace. And some of these rules, or most of these rules, have not evolved. This is scary. Since the 1950s, except they are now more intense than they were back then. So what are they? Well, executive Lynn Harris runs her own executive development practice out of Montreal, Canada, and is joining me to shed some light on those rules and insights on what women and men need to know about getting ahead in today's organizations. And Lynn will be with me live around 12:20 today. But first, our Live Your Dream coach answers your questions. Joyce Chapman is a dedicated lifelong educator and coach with a master's in counseling psychology. She's an intuitive coach, hearing not just what you say, but what you don't say. And I can speak from firsthand experience on this because I've been working with her for a couple of months. And it's made a huge, huge difference to me. She's savvy. She tells it like it is. She'll ask you a ton of questions. But she's also very creative and playful. And her joyful spirit wants you to succeed. And before we jump into that piece, I want to say one of the things that we talk about a lot on this show, and Joyce Chapman in particular with me, talks about celebrating and the importance of celebrating. And I've been so sick the past 4.5 weeks, and I'm still sucking on a cough lozenge today. If you can, I'm trying not to make it obvious here, but I was so sick I forgot to celebrate because, Eric, we have been on air on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for 3 years, the beginning of the month.
Fantastic.
And I knew it.
Boy, time just flies when you're having fun, right?
It does. And I knew it, but, you know, I was sick and just getting through the day working, and I forgot to celebrate it. So we're going to have to do some kind of celebration before the month is out.
Sounds good.
So I want to take the opportunity to thank you for all that you've done with the show.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, I really appreciate working with you, and look forward to Mondays. Not just to do the show, but also to see you.
Oh, well, likewise. Definitely.
I also want to thank David Vanver, who works with me remotely, and Jen Bossett, who works with me in my studio down south, because, again, without them, I couldn't do this. And a big thank you to our sponsors, of course, and especially to the JMB Group for keeping us on the air, for contributing every week. Really appreciate it. So let's go to answering your questions with Joyce Chapman, Live Your Dream Coach. And because the production is a little low sometimes when we talk to Joyce, we went ahead and pre-recorded this. So that's why it's pre-recorded. We're hoping we can get the production quality a little higher. For some reason, when we talk with Joyce on the phone, we always have a connection. The sound quality is not quite there, is it, Eric?
We're dreaming of a day when Joyce either gets a new phone or something happens where we can get her here in person.
Maybe we'll have to buy her a new phone.
Yeah, I think so. Because sometimes the quality of her phone line is a little low. So we're able to tweak this a little bit so hopefully people can hear her as clearly as possible.
I hope so because, you know, when I talk with her, I have to say she's a very vibrant, dynamic being. And that doesn't always come across when we do a live segment because of the sound issue that we have with her because we're doing it remotely. All right, so let's go ahead and bring you that piece right now. Eric, are we ready to run with that?
We're ready.
Well, Joyce Chapman, welcome. Welcome to the show today.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. How about yourself?
Well, you know I love talking about dreams and living your dreams, so let's get started. Did somebody send you a question?
Yeah, we've got a couple of questions here, Joyce.
I don't know who this came from. It was anonymous, but she or he says, I have recently started a dream circle and would like to ask you questions from time to time. May I do this? And if yes, is there a charge or a fee? So go ahead and I guess you should tell us, first of all, what a dream circle is for those who don't know, Joyce.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. A short story is that years and years ago, 30 years over, I started a group called Live Your Dream. And out of the Live Your Dream, I realized that when people were through with the workshop, they could or would need a support system. So I started creating all sorts of groups called Share Your Dream, Together to the Top, and then I came with Dream Circle. And so that's how it all started, because I really knew and saw and realized for myself that it's very important to surround yourself with people who, you know, are aligned with you and believe in you and, bottom line, want to empower you. And so that's how it all started. And then I have a couple of ways that people can connect with me. Yes, I love questions. You know that about me. I love questions, so you can always ask me questions, and there's no charge to do that. You can either email me and ask me a question, visit my blog, and there's links on my site where you can also, you know, connect with me more. And then also, I will send out a Dream Circle guide if a person requests. If I have a PDF file that I can send you, or if you have my books, then you will probably be reading a lot more about dream partnering and being a part of a Dream Circle too. Okay. And then the ways I charge, if you want to go a little bit further, is I have hotline appointments, which are only $25. And that way you send me some questions and then we can talk about it, so it can be more personalized in a way. And then if they want more coaching, listeners that want more coaching, they can check out my other coaching options. And all of that is on my website, so I don't really need to go into that today unless you have a question.
Well, yes, you need to give out your website. That would help, right?
It's so easy. If you can remember my name, it's www.joycechapman.com.
Okay. And I want to just back up, because you said that if somebody's interested in getting more information, you have what do you have on a PDF? If somebody's listening.
It's called a Dream Circle Guide, and it is actually the exact guide that's in the appendix of my Celebrate Your Dream workbook. And it, as I said, it started over 30 years ago, so there's a lot of good ideas and really almost a step-by-step way to, you know, have a dream circle and then form your dream circle, and then every time you meet, there are many ideas in the guide. And then again, you can email me too and ask me questions. So that's the file that I spoke of.
Okay. That sounds really great, Joyce, because then if you have a friend or a partner or a couple of friends to form your own dream circle, and then you offer this guidance and the hotline option, and uh-huh. that is really good.
Well, it is, because it's so, and I'm sure you really know this, Vicki, and I imagine many, many of the listeners know it, that it's just, for want of a better word, it's just nice to have people who care about what you would like to be, do, and have in your lifetime. And a lot of times people, you know, that's the last thing they begin to talk about. So it's like, okay, in the dream circle, the focus is, you know, what is your dream? What dream step do you want us to assist you with? You know, how can we help? How can we? I have a process that's called dreamstorming, which I love. Not unlike a think tank idea, where everybody just gives out their ideas about what you could do. And then, of course, it's up to the dreamer to decide what feels right and then go ahead and do it. So it's a very empowering thing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Your newsletter this month, you talk about your biggest dream, giving it a power of its own. This is a question from a listener. I should have prefaced that. I'm sorry. She said in your newsletter this month, talking about your biggest dream gives it a power of its own, but it's really challenging me. I have some concern about who I should share with. Do you have some advice for me about this? Oh, yes, because it is possible to share with the wrong people, isn't it?
Well, I wish I could say, oh, no, you can't share with the wrong people. But I have to say, oh, this is probably a question I'm asked a lot. And one of the things that I've laughed about and said to one person was, well, if I had a crystal ball, I'd loan it to you, and you'd ask, who should I talk with about my biggest dream? And then you'd get the answer. But in reality, it's a good idea to give some thought to who can I, and I'm going to use the word trust, and I'm kind of putting it in quotes, Vicki, who can you trust? Won't put you down, won't say you're crazy, or say you're crazy and let's do it.
Right.
And if this is your dream, I'll support you and I'll want you to do it. So, by putting it, bottom line is putting your dream out there. And of course, talking with people that you know that you can trust and that you can share. And they'll want, you to have your dream as much as they want to have their dream. Mm-hmm. And it's all called, how can I inspire you is what I often ask my clients.
Yeah, and hanging out with the wrong people. I mean, even sometimes people can be very passive aggressive and slip things in, and then you start doubting yourself.
Oh, it's just human. maybe I shouldn't. And I think maybe I've told you this, Vicki, before, but when I decided to write a book, I had a lot of people go, you write a book? And I still laugh at that because it was like, I like to be challenged and I'm a part of the personality. I like to be, maybe you can't do that. And then it just sparks me to, yes, I can. Mm-hmm. But not everybody is that way. So it's like, yes, people can be, naysayers, as they say. And so it is really nice. Really wonderful to have people around you that are saying, hey, I know you can do it.
Yeah, I wonder if that person is eating his or her words now, because how many books have you written and how many years have they been on this show?
That person is no longer in my life.
Okay, enough said then. I have another question from Mary. She says, this is interesting. I didn't know you were doing this. Joyce, I got your announcement about your upcoming August 19th telechat. So what's that? A couple of days away, right? With the International Association of Journal Writers. Do I have to be a member to join in the telechat?
Yes, you do have to be a member to join in the telechat. The advantage of that is that every month they have experts like myself talk about some aspect of keeping a personal journal, and they are just wonderful telechats. I can't applaud them more than anything. It's just a wonderful thing to tap into. So you do have to become a member, but you also can just visit the site and see what's going on and read about the different journal council, it's called, the different authors and speakers and the people that are with the group. I think there's over 30 now. So it's a wonderful organization to check out. And then their weekly tips that they send out. And it's not, when I say just for journalers, it's for anybody who has a passion about knowing more about themselves.
Oh, interesting. And do you happen to have the website handy?
I don't have it right in front of me, and I'm sorry, I don't.
But that's okay. We'll look it up.
But if you typed in IAJW, it will come up. And or, once again, anyone can email me and ask me, send me the links to what you were talking about today, and I'll be happy to do that, too, if that's easy.
Okay. And then can you give us a hint about what you're talking about on August 19th?
I'm going to be talking about Notice and Journal. The noticing concept came actually from the Live Your Dream work, so it's very in tune with the dreamers who want to live their dream, and to paying attention. It's bottom line, I'd love to say, if you want to really live your dream, wake up, notice, and journal.
There you go. What a perfect way to end our segment. Wake up, notice and journal. I love it. Thank you, Joyce, as always, for answering listener questions. We really appreciate it. And hope people are making great strides. And let's give out your website again. It's joycechapman.com. And they can find out everything you just talked about up there, right?
That's right. And order my books and read everything I'm talking about.
All right. And if you'd like, if listeners would like the free PDF that Joyce talked about, the download, you can just drop her an email. And your email is?
Dreams at Joyce Chapman. Kaplan.com.
Well, that's easy enough.
Can you tell what I love to talk about?
Dreams, yeah. No, I can't. All right, well, that's it. Great. Thank you so much, Joyce. I really appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you. It was fun.
And again, that was pre-recorded because we were trying to get better sound quality there, since we always seem to have a problem when we connect with Joyce. But the website she was talking about, where she's in her telechat, is coming on August 19th, which is this coming Thursday, is the International Association for Journal Writing. And that's at www.iajw.org. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll be joined by executive consultant, businesswoman, and author Lynn Harris. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Intuitive dream coach Joyce Chapman says there are no little dreams, that every desire is important, and that you deserve life to its fullest. As a dream activist, Joyce has helped thousands of people gain clarity about their lives and make positive changes. She can help you too. See more information at joycechapman.com. And if you have a question for Joyce regarding your dream, email joyce@joycechapman.com.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Making a difference, one word at a time.
Get your smile on with Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And again, this is the third Monday of the month where we look at career and business and work-life balance strategies. And I'm pleased to welcome Lynn Harris to the show. She has over 20 years of managerial leadership and consulting experience within large organizations. She now runs her own executive development practice based in Montreal, Canada. And she specializes in executive coaching, team development, and meeting facilitation. She also works internationally with colleagues from Europe, developing organizational change projects and leadership development workshops. She has a Master of Arts in Organizational Development and qualifications in advanced facilitation, consulting skills, behavioral skills training, structural consulting, and psychometric testing. Lynn Harris, welcome to the show today.
Thanks, Vicky. It's nice to be with you.
And I should say you're also the author of Unwritten Rules, What Women Need to Know About Leading in Today's Organizations. And the title is What Women Need to Know, but I'd argue that men also need to know this too, for a number of reasons. So tell us why you wrote this book, who you wrote it for.
Well, I coach senior executives in organizations, and I tend to coach predominantly men because it's mainly men at the top of organizations. I'm always delighted when I get a woman to coach, but it is predominantly men. And so obviously working in large organizations for a number of years, both as an executive myself, but then as a coach, I have really watched nothing much change in terms of more women at the top. So what I see is we have a lot of women who have made great strides and achieved middle management jobs. And, of course, we get the well-known names of a few women at the top. But really, if you look across all sectors, you've got usually somewhere between 85 and 95% of the top jobs are filled by men. So I wanted to write a book because I'm on a mission to get more women in positions of senior leadership. I think it'll be good for organizations and good for the world in general, really.
Yeah, I agree with you. Who doesn't?
Well, actually, lots of men don't seem to.
Well, we're going to change that.
Yeah.
I want to just talk about a quote that you have in the book, and this is unbelievable. In 1999, 1971, which, you know, isn't that far gone, President Richard Nixon typified the cultural views of the day, you say, when he said, "I don't think a woman should be in any government job whatsoever." And the reason? Mainly because they're erratic and emotional. And then he says men are erratic and emotional too. But the point is, a woman is more likely to be. Has that concept, has that perception changed?
No, not really. If you look underneath the sort of superficial, you know, of course, you know, it's a level playing field, it's equal now. Actually, the stereotypes from that time are still pretty much in place. So we still have, you know, gender stereotypes, which really affect men and women in different ways. I'm not saying that, you know, gender stereotyping is just a female issue, but
right.
in terms of what I'm looking at, which is getting more women in positions of senior leadership, those gender stereotypes are still there beneath the surface. Often they're unconscious, you know, unconscious biases, and they are a factor in preventing or making it more difficult for women to reach senior leading positions.
Yeah, you talk about a level playing field and say a level playing field is a concept about fairness.
Uh-huh.
It's not that every player has an equal chance to succeed, but they all play by the same set of rules and have an equal ability to compete. So
right.
What are you seeing as a consultant in the way of a level playing field?
What I'm seeing is that organizations genuinely thinking that they have a level playing field and then being a bit perplexed, if they care about this at all, that given they think they have a level playing field, in other words, men and women have equal opportunity within the organization, how come is it that we still have the vast majority of senior positions filled by men at the top? So straight away that tells you that actually it's not the level playing field we think it is. And this is where I bring in the unwritten rules. In other words, there are certain unspoken rules about what senior leaders should and need to do that impact men and women differently. So they both have the same rules, it's just that they have a different impact on men and they present different challenges for women.
Mm.
So it ends up not being a level playing field in reality.
Right. And I want to address the rules in a little while, but I wanted to look at this because you say gender is not a woman's issue, it's everybody's issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree with you on that. You say if we meet expectations about how we're supposed to behave as women, we're seen as unsuitable leadership material. But if we conform to stereotypical leadership behaviors, we're seen as unfeminine and unlikable. So what's the solution there?
Well, it's first of all, the solution is to be in part of the solution is to be in touch with reality. So, you know, the first part of the book really is very research-based, and the purpose of the first part of the book is for women who do have aspirations to lead, for them to say, look, you know, here are some of the realities about the way the world is, the way organizations are at the moment. So we do have that you know, sort of you can't win. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't,
mm-hmm.
as one of the forces in play. So part of it is just be in touch with, this is the way things are at the moment. Don't be fooled by it. Don't be surprised when you're confronted by this. Because I think in order to, you know, create what you want as a leader, you really have to be in touch with reality and what's going on at the moment. So I think that's one thing. The second part of the book is really about, well, given that these are some of the things that women are up against, then there are a set of skills that will help you enormously in terms of when you encounter these obstacles and in terms of really preparing yourself to lead within what is at the moment a very male leadership model, a patriarchal sort of organizational setup. So it's about be in touch with reality and then really skill yourself up to be able to deal with this and, you know, maintain your authenticity as a woman, but at the same time succeed within this male leadership model.
Hmm. And I'm going to look at a couple of those issues you talked about. Sustainability is a big issue, I think, and mentoring and coaching, too. You talk about both of those in that section. We need to take a quick break before we go there, so let us do that now. My guest in the segment is Lynn Harris. She's written a great book called Unwritten Rules, What Women Need to Know About Leading in Today's Organizations. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Claire. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicki St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicki asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Conscious living for conscious people. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back. We're talking in the segment with Lynn Harris. She's an executive coach, entrepreneur, and author. Her new book is called Unwritten Rules, What Women Need to Know About Leading in Today's Organizations. And I said at the beginning of the segment, you know, this is not just a book for women. It's a book for male leaders, too, whether you're up and coming and want to know how to foster good working relationships with women and bring more women into your organization. And especially for the big boys at the top who don't have any women in their organizations. So I wanted to talk a little in this segment, Lynn, about women's networking, because you say women's networking is not enough. You say many of your coaching clients say they don't like networking or they don't have the time for it. They say things like, people who network contact me only when they want something. Mm-hmm. Networking events are awful. They're full of people thrusting business cards into my hand. Yep. Talk a little bit about networking, if you would, from your perspective.
I think networking is one of those things now where everybody, men and women, are being told they should do it. Mm. And for a lot of women that I know, they sort of add it to their to-do list. It becomes a task. Oh, my God, now I've got to network. So not only have I got to get through, you know, extremely busy, full business day, get home, you know, manage the family, manage the home, but somehow I've got to find, you know, another task on there, which is to get out and meet people and form a business network. And I think if you look at it like that, first of all, you probably won't do it because it's not something that you enjoy. And secondly, it's just a task that drops off the end of your to-do list. And then when you really, you know, do need a network, it's not there. So in my mind, I think we need to just rethink networking altogether. In fact, I call it building professional relationships, and relationship is the key bit. So for me, this is something we do all of the time. It's not a task. It's a way, in a way, it's a leadership skill. So building relationships with people that you find interesting, that you can exchange ideas with, that you can connect with and help connect other people, that can support you, that you can support them, is something that I think is part of your leadership practice. And it's something you do all the time, not a task on a to-do list. And, you know, it should be enjoyable. You know, when I first moved to Montreal from the UK 9 years ago now, I didn't know a soul in Montreal, and I had no idea about networking. And I've built a tremendous network both here and around the world, but I only really network with people that I like, that I enjoy, that I can exchange ideas with, you know, that I can help, they can help me. And it's fun. You know, it's not a task.
Mm-hmm. So tell us how you built your network, because you did move from the UK. You know, I'm from the UK, obviously, too.
Yeah.
And when I moved here, I knew my mother and my brother, and that was it.
Right.
And they all went back a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
So you do rely very heavily on a network there. So what are some things that worked really well for you in your approach?
I think what's worked best for me is going into meeting where I have got a lunch or a coffee with somebody and not even thinking about what can this person do for me. I mean, I never think that. For me, it's like it's an opportunity to meet somebody else. And my first thought goes to showing interest in them, because I am genuinely interested in them. And then looking at, is there any way I can help or support them? Is there any way that I can connect them with other people? Do I have any information or book recommendation or whatever that I can give to them? And, you know, coming from that approach, I've found over the years, you don't even have to think about what can the other person do for me, because people are by nature reciprocal. They want to help. They like you. And they want to help you. And most of the time I find people say to me, oh, you must meet so-and-so, or you know, they're contacting me, not always straight away, but later on. So I think, you know, first of all, an attitude to go in about, you know, much more about what can I do for the other person rather than what can they do for me.
Right.
Would be a big thing. And the other thing is that just, you know, don't be afraid just to women often think they have to have a really good reason to meet with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, just getting together for a coffee with someone or for lunch and getting to know someone to build a relationship. You don't have to have a great big important meeting reason to meet with somebody.
Yeah, and especially when you're transitioning, you're making a transition, you know, like you did, like I did, from corporate world to own business, which many people are doing right now.
Yeah.
I certainly did that when I moved up here to Seattle. I would come across people that I found interesting and then just ping them and say, you know, do you have time to meet me for coffee? And,
exactly.
You know, nothing lost if they say no, but nobody did, strangely.
Well,
enough.
I was going to say, I bet you hardly anybody said no, because that was my experience, is just connect, you know, I'd meet with one person, they would say, oh, you should meet so-and-so, I would contact them. And I think, you know, I don't think I can even remember anybody saying no.
Yeah, I don't either.
And if you also, another great approach is to ask other people for their ideas, what they think, because most of us like being asked what we think and our ideas and our advice. So, you know, that's another easy way to contact people.
Mm. One of the things you say is don't be afraid to talk about yourself, because women in particular have a reputation for putting other people's needs ahead of their own and interests of their own. So how do you encourage somebody to talk about themselves when they see it as not okay?
Well, I think if you're somebody who doesn't see it as okay, the first thing to do is to show interest in the other person and get them. And then, because we are reciprocal, you know, 9 times out of 10, the person will then start asking you things about you. So then you have an opening to reciprocate, and, you know, just try and you know, remember this is a two-way thing. If you spend the whole time just speaking about the other person, you know, it doesn't feel like a relationship, a real engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think when people do ask about you, don't be afraid to give them information, to talk about it. I mean, you know, I think once women get the opening, they're fine. I think it's just that opening.
Yeah, yeah. And you do list a whole bunch of strategic approaches to creating this diverse network rather than adding it to your to-do list, making it a way of life. And one of the things you talk about is Harvey McKay's Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with that. I got that years ago. And
yeah.
He's so right. Tell us a little bit what that means.
Well, one of the things everybody hates is being contacted by somebody that you haven't heard of from years and years, who've shown no interest in you or supporting you, and suddenly they're out of work or they need something, so they're contacting you. And it feels very manipulative, because it is. I mean, you're being used. And we all know when that happens. So, you know, if you haven't built a network of relationships, when you need support, it's not there. So this is the whole notion of digging your well before you're thirsty, is that you really must build a network of relationships and keep that and sustain it, so that if there ever comes a time when you do need help and support, people are already there for you. And it's not this shot out the blue where people know they're only interested in you because they want something.
Right, right.
It's something that, you know, like I say, it's a way of life. It's not something you do when you need it. It's something you do as part of your leadership practice, as part of your business awareness or whatever, all of the time.
And then when you do need it, it's already well established.
And people are usually falling over themselves to help you, because you've spent years in contact with them and helping them in whatever way.
Right.
And people love to reciprocate, so it really isn't then difficult.
Right, right. I want to talk a little about due diligence. You talk about taking control of our career versus waiting for it to happen. Mm-hmm. Do you find that men are more take charge more of their careers than women do typically?
Well, it, you know, it's always a generalization, but what I do find is with a lot of women in organizations is that they have a concept that if they do their job really well, and they do, that they will be noticed, and therefore, you know, that promotion will come along. Whereas, you know, stereotypically, men will go will be much better at promoting themselves, talking about their accomplishments, and going after something.
Yeah.
It is a trap that many women fall into, in terms of thinking if I just do a really good job, then I will be noticed, and then, you know, that doesn't happen.
Right. And one of the things you talk about in due diligence is doing due diligence on your organization, on your own performance, and seeking feedback. What kind of things do we need to look at within our own organization, first of all?
Well, I think if you have aspirations to reach a senior level in your organization, first of all, have a look up there and see if there are any women already. You know, how many women are on the board? You can find this out easily just on the internet. How many women are there on your senior team? And are you seeing any movement in that? Because if you're not, you know you're in an organization probably where they it's not even on their radar, where they don't particularly care, or where there's a real prejudice against it. So, I mean, I've coached many women at VP level, and when we've looked at their organization, we've come to the conclusion that it's going to be not impossible, but very, very difficult for them to make it up to the next level, because there is some sort of prejudice or barrier there, and it's just not on the radar screen of the guys in charge to get more diversity at the top.
Yeah, and I think it's important to revisit that periodically, because I can think of one company I worked with many, many, many years ago, and it was a woman CEO with a couple of women vice presidents, and that changed over the years, and until an ex-military fellow came in, and the board changed with it, and suddenly there were no women anywhere.
Right.
So I think it's important to revisit that if you're with a company for a long time.
I think so. I think you need to lift your head up from your work and look around you and think, okay, what are my chances of really making it around here? And be realistic about that. So do a bit of homework. See what initiatives there are in the organization. See if there, you know, if there is any interest in women and leadership, in diversity, whether they are open to actually talking about is it a level playing field. So, you know, there are many organizations now who are really now starting to think about this, struggle with it a bit, and notice that they don't have women in senior leadership, and start thinking about, well, you know, do we want it? And if so, how do we get it? Now, if you're in one of those companies, you've got much more chance of making it than you have in one where, you know, they really don't care about that at all.
Right, right. You talk about due diligence on your own performance.
Yeah.
What do we need to look at there?
If wherever you are in the organization at the moment, if you have an aspiration for some sort of promotional move, you need to look at, where am I at the moment, where do I want to be, and what is it I need to do to get there? Now, you may not be able to answer those questions yourself. So the best thing to do is to think about, okay, who are the key decision makers? Who are the people who would actually have some power on my career to make those decisions? And you need to speak to those people and say, okay, here's my aspiration. This is what I want to do. Here's where I am now. What do you think I need to do, either keep doing, stop doing, or start doing, in order to be seriously considered for this next move? And really get, I mean, in the book I talk about how to manage that feedback, because often people aren't used to giving feedback and they don't give it in a very helpful way. So I do give some tips about how to manage those conversations and really get that feedback. But again, you know, don't be afraid to have those conversations to find out, okay, who is on the talent management? Who, you know, what does my boss think? What does his or her boss think? And ask them for help. And that serves two functions. It gives you information about what you need to do to get to that next move. It also telegraphs to these people that you are interested and that you're looking at your career, you're prepared to manage it, and you really are serious about getting to the next stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes you can overcome, they may have this objection in their head about promoting you for some reason. And if you take that initiative and discuss that with them, it can open all kinds of doors. You talk also in the book about managing your boss. And I know from, you know, I used to hire hundreds of people. I think this is critical. The smart ones learned how to manage me real quick. So
right.
Talk a little bit about why it's so important we learn to manage our boss.
Well, most of us have expectations about how our boss should be, and most people moan about their boss not meeting their expectations. And it's tough being a boss, you know.
It is.
And, you know, people in charge would really benefit from having conversations with their people about, okay, what are your expectations of me? Where am I not meeting them? Where I'm not? Now, the boss often doesn't initiate that conversation. So, you know, it's up to you, really, to talk to your boss about what's working well between you, what's not working well, you know, what might you do differently? How can you support your boss and how can they support you? So it's a real two-way thing. Secondly, you know, your boss is probably one of the most critical people in terms of your career development. You know, he or she will be making very influential decisions about your next move. Therefore, it's important to really make sure that your boss knows what you want, that gives you regular feedback, that you have regular meetings, not just the biannual or the annual appraisal, you know, mm-hmm. which is pretty useless to just be doing that. Now, you know, your boss is very busy. There's a lot, you know, she usually has a lot of people to look after. So it's really up to you to manage that, to be persistent, to make sure you get in front of him or her, have those conversations, get the information you need about your feedback, and really get that sort of relationship where you can have honest feedback between you.
Yeah, very good. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about some of the unwritten rules specifically. I want to talk about personal sustainability, which is critical if we're going to make headway. And I also want to look at some of the stories you have on corporate refugees, because they're so inspiring. Okay. Please stay with us. And my guest in this segment is Lynn Harris. Her book is called Unwritten Rules, What Women Need to Know About Leading in Today's Organizations. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Just give me a call when you reach Montreal. At least I'll know you're there.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
Let's play 10 questions. What is new at KKNW?
Real estate radio.
What's the show about?
Real estate.
Actually, Val, we focus on buying, selling, owning, and financing residential real estate.
That's right, at the ground level, where most of us live.
Who are you guys?
Well, I'm Rob Gray, a broker for John L. Scott in West Seattle.
And I'm Craig Goble with Cascade Pacific Mortgage.
We're both active real estate professionals, and we're in the trenches every day.
Don't miss Real Estate Radio at its new time, 2 o'clock every Thursday here on Alternative Talk 1150.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
The new mainstream of talk radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest, Lynn Harris, is an executive coach. She owns her own company. She's also an author. And her book is called Unwritten Rules, What Women Need to Know About Leading in Today's Organizations. So let's, before we move forward, talk a little bit about your background, Lynn, a little bit more, because you have over 20 years of managerial leadership and consulting experience within large organizations. You used to be a regional sales manager in financial services. Then you were a partner in an organizational development consultancy. But you wanted a new life. Why?
I got to the stage where I was working so hard and traveling so much that I wasn't able to do the other parts. I mean, I love my work, but I wasn't able to do the other things in life that I wanted to do. So I really wanted more control over my life and how I spent it. And so that's what prompted me to build my own business and get in control. So it's not that I don't still work really hard. It's just that I have much more control now over when I work, how I work, taking breaks. And so that's what led me. Also, you know, I guess I I'm not too good at working for other people always, so I like to be my own boss.
Well, there you go. That's honest as well. I mean, that's good to know about yourself. Some people never learn that. No, and so you actually moved to Canada to start a new life with your son and your husband, Jeff. Uh-huh. And so tell us a little bit about how you went about deciding what you were going to do and how.
Well, when I moved from the UK to Canada, I arrived here. My husband's Canadian. That's why I moved here. And I didn't know anybody. So first thing I did was I took a break. Having worked very hard, I took several months to get my son settled, but also to really rest, to think, to recuperate, to really make some decisions about what I wanted the next chapter of my life to be. And that's something I do recommend if people are able to do that, to take a bit of a, even if it's just a month.
Yeah.
You know, just take some step back, because I think while you're in something, it's very difficult to make clear decisions about making a change. So that's one of the things I did. And, you know, I think I had four iterations of my business before I really landed on where I am now. So the other thing is to try stuff out. You know, often we don't try stuff out for fear it won't work. Well, you know, the news is it probably won't lots of times, but unless you try it out, you won't know.
Right.
And you won't get to where you need to be without trying stuff out. So that's another thing I did, was I tried stuff out, decided whether I wanted to do that, decided I didn't, change it a bit, and until I really landed where I am now, where I'm very happy doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, that break thing is so important, if you can do it, if you're lucky enough to be able to do it, because I've worked 7 days a week for the last couple of years and got to the point where I'm like, enough, this has got to stop. And so I took 6 weeks off and totally regrouped and decided to drop some things and focus on other things, and I'm feeling much better for it.
And I bet it would have been really difficult to do that if you hadn't taken the break.
Of course, yeah, because you do get stuck on that hamster wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
And you need that space. I needed mental, I call it mental space.
Yeah.
I needed mental space between everyday life, and I went to England and Norway and just, you know, relaxed and enjoyed and thought.
Yeah.
And suddenly everything falls into place for you.
Right. Well, good for you. Yeah.
The unwritten rules of senior leadership, I'm going to run through these real quick. Senior leaders are available anytime, anywhere, and we know how much we have to be connected these days with BlackBerries and et cetera. Senior leaders have a linear career path. They have continuous employment with no career breaks. Mm-hmm. Senior leaders are competitive, means they're tough, strong, assertive. Senior leaders promote themselves, which we talked about, building relationships with people who can support us. All of that requires an incredible amount of energy. And you've got a great chapter in the book on personal sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we can talk a little bit about that. You actually made some changes in your life. And this I was really interested in. You talk about Robert Fritz, who's written a lot of books on the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
And he describes two very different orientations, a reactive, responsive orientation and a generative, creative orientation. Can we talk on that a little?
Yeah, I mean, most of us tend to lead our lives in a reactive, responsive way, and also our careers at work, is we're reacting and responding to things around us. You know, something comes up, we react to it. And you know, a lot of people I coach in organizations talk about, you know, constantly fighting fires, always reacting to what's coming up. And, you know, that leads us also to a bit of a problem-solving orientation. You know, we have problems, we solve them. You know, then the next problem comes on. We're constantly in a problem-solving orientation. That's very different to a creative orientation, which is what I use when I'm coaching my clients, which is about, okay, you know, what is it that you want to build, create, realize, and let's have a look at, you know, get a picture of that. Then let's have a look at where you are now and how we might work towards that. So we're not reacting and responding to anything. We're not trying to solve any problems. We're looking at, what do you want to create here? What do you want to bring into existence? Whether that be, you know, leading in your team, whether that be part of your life. So that, you know, they're very different orientations. And Robert Fritz's work is excellent on that. He's many books. They're on my book website if you want to have a look at them.
And your website is, give us that, and we'll give it again before the end of the show.
There's a couple of websites. The one for the book is unwrittenrulesthebook.com.
Okay.
And the other website is harriscoach.com.
Harriscoach.com. And I thought, oh, she's writing about me here, because You say if we're in the reactive, responsive orientation where we are working flat out, we don't have time, we don't make the time, and, you know, we can't get to the gym because it's closed by the time we're finished working, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You say we're likely to oscillate between implementing changes that support us in being healthy mm-hmm. and managing our energy and emotions and then swinging back to neglecting ourselves. I thought, yes, she's writing about me there. Not anymore, though. I want to talk a little bit about managing energy versus managing time, because this was another thing I came to realization while I was away. It's not that I can handle 7 days a week if my energy is being re-sparked. Yeah. If I'm being drained at the end of every day and I come home exhausted, that's not working for me anymore, and that's why I made some major changes. Mm. How do you define the difference between time management and energy management?
Well, you know, there are only so many hours in a day. And if you look at time management, it really is very finite, and it's, you know, what can I fit in these? And you're not really managing the critical thing there, which is your energy. It's all very well having so many hours a day, but if you're too exhausted in those hours to actually do all the things you want to do, it's not much help. So I'm not against time management, but I find actually most women I meet are pretty good at time management. You know, mm-hmm. they get a phenomenal amount of things done in a day. It's energy management where we're not so good. And I liken it a bit to, you know, when you're on an airplane and they say, please put the mask on yourself before you try to help anybody else.
Right, right.
And, you know, women are very good at putting the mask on other people and helping others, forgetting that they actually need to put their own mask on, because if they don't, they run out of energy and they can't help other people, and they certainly can't help themselves. So, you know, this is like, it's really okay to be selfish. You know, selfish gets a very bad rap. You know, being selfish is actually sometimes a very, very good thing. So maintaining your own energy, understanding what nourishes you, what keeps you in good shape in order to have the amount of energy to do and create the things you want to create, is essential. If you don't have that, you're not going to accomplish and create the things that you want to create.
Right.
So and it's different for different people. And I give examples in the book about how different people manage their energy and, you know, what nourishes other people. You know, it's not necessarily about slowing down, but it is about taking breaks and doing things that nourish you. Mm. So, you know, one example I give in the book is someone I was coaching, and he was really having trouble getting through the day in terms of his energy. And what we did is we found out, well, what is it that helps you, you know, generally in life? And he says, well, being outside. So all we did was we implemented that at some period in the day, he would go and take a walk, sometimes just 20 minutes outside. Sometimes it was just around his organization. And he was astounded at the results of just taking that break and going for a walk, which helped him. And now he's built on that to do other things because he's seen that it works. So it's finding out what nourishes you in order to get more energy, and then actually putting it in as part of your day.
Right, right. I actually last week walked around the park with my PA. We took my dog and a recorder and we talked, and then she went back and acted on what we talked about.
Right. And I sometimes do coaching sessions going for a walk. I had a friend who contacted me the other day. She said, I've stopped meeting friends for coffee. Now I'm meeting friends for a walk. I thought, what a great idea. So now I've booked to meet her for a walk rather than the coffee.
Yeah. Now, we only have about a minute left, unfortunately, Lynn, but you have a great end to the book. The last section is really inspiring, and I wish we had more time to talk about it. We'll have to have you come back. But you interviewed a bunch of women who you call corporate refugees. Do you have a favorite story there that you can share in a few seconds?
The corporate refugee section is about women making choices about how they want to lead, and these are women that got out of organizations to lead in other ways. I think my favorite story there was the women that went off, the three women that went off to join Médecins Sans Frontières in different capacities and really used their corporate expertise in a different world, and you know, have either stayed in that world or are doing it part time. And I was completely in awe of those women.
Yeah, it's a very inspiring segment of the book. And even if you are already a corporate refugee, you need to keep yourself motivated all the same. And that's very inspiring.
Yeah.
So, what would you like to leave our listeners with today?
I think the three key messages from the book: be in touch with reality about the environment you're operating on, really develop the set of skills you need to succeed within that, and realize that you have a choice. If you don't like what you're doing, change it.
Excellent. And your website again, please.
It's unwrittenrulesthebook.com and also harriscoach.com.
Okay. My guest, thank you so much for being with us, Lynn Harris. Her book, again, called The Unwritten Rules, What Women Need to Know About Leading in Today's Organizations. And it's not just for women, it's for men, too.
Exactly.
If you have feedback on today's show, you can reach me at info@conversationslive.net or leave a voicemail at 1-800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617. And please join me next Monday at noon. Until then, live well, live strong, and thanks for sharing this hour with us on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.